The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen of Delaware Valley, welcome to the NAMA Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. Got a great show. Our guest is Dr. Bruce Grossinger. Doc, how are you?
Doing great today. How are you, Jill?
I'm fantastic. Tara Nakisha Hodge is our co-host. She will be joining us at the midway point of the broadcast. Doc, so here we are, Monday. I think, you know, we always warm up with sports, and I cannot think of a better day to do that, man. I mean, you being the post-game doctor for the Eagles post-game show, let's talk about last night, man. I mean, that was potentially the most improbable win I've ever seen. I can't think of, especially the way it happened with the field goal. I mean, let's start off, you know, talking about that.
Yeah, I mean, he kicked, we have Jake Elliott, who I think has basically surpassed David Akers, who's number two, as the best, most clutch kicker. The fact that it was a driving wind and rain.
That's unbelievable.
It was kicking off of mush, and a 59-yarder. Putting that in context, how many years, how many decades did the 63-yard Tom Dempsey kick
Incredible.
Sustain? So you're asking this guy to kick into a wind with rain on essentially a mushy field, and to go into overtime was incredible. Like I was just going nuts. So that was just one part of this incredible comeback. The fact that Jalen Hurts in the first half had no first downs and had a quarterback rating of 0.0.
I know.
0.0. That's like Blutarski, 0.0. And then came back in the second half, had a quarterback rating of 158. And that at one point in the second half, threw three out of four passes for touchdowns. And on a bad knee, ran in the winning score to win in overtime. This guy, Jalen Hurts, is superhuman and propelled him to victory, as well as many of his teammates, including Brandon Graham, who had a very important sack and who's looking like he hasn't aged at all. And a lot of people around the Eagles are talking about signing Brandon Graham to another, not one, but two-year deal.
Yeah.
He, as of yesterday, this is great, hit a milestone. Brandon Graham, as of yesterday, is the longest tenured Eagle of all time.
Of all time.
So they're the bullet points.
You mentioned the guy he surpassed. You know who it was, right? David Akers. He was a kicker. It's a little bit different. Okay.
Although kickers tend to last longer. We could look at Sean Landetta, who was a putter for the Eagles and Giants, made it into his late 40s.
But
so,
see, it's
with kickers, very interesting.
With kickers, it's not the physicality, it's the yips. Eventually, they all, I mean, no matter how long, they start missing, right? And so Sean Landetta's, I mean, not Sean Landetta's, but Akers' run is pretty good based on, not just physically, but the fact that you could last that long.
Akers was absolutely tremendous. And again, Jake Elliott has from a longevity standpoint, Jake Elliott has a long way to go before he can be even in the conversation of the longest tenured Eagle.
Well, it's interesting about that, when you think about it, is, you know, typically speaking, you know, the Eagles have literally, when you think about longevity and you think about, you know, our organization, we're set up fairly good, but last night's victory was another one of an unbelievable run of, it's almost unexplainable. I mean, we're getting rolled in the first half. It looks like, talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, this team has a pattern of being down 10 points to the Bills. They look like they were totally in charge, and two of the best run stoppers went out, Zach Cunningham and Fletcher Cox. They went out, and so the beginning of the third quarter of the game, basically Buffalo had a resurgence, a reemergence, where they were just running. 8, 10, 12-yard clips, and the Eagles buckled down in the fourth quarter. So just coincident with the offense scoring those touchdowns and Devontae Smith and just that guy who the game before caught that basket catch, seems like he's always in the right place for the touchdown, that his communication with Jalen Hurts is incredible. And really, I was talking to Seth Joyner yesterday. Buffalo basically did everything to stop the slant pattern with A.J. Brown. They had a blanketed.
Well, you got to pick your poison, right?
Right. They had a blanketed in front of him, behind him, sideways. And so the open guy was, was Devontae. And the other, number 13, whose name I can't pronounce.
St. Joe's
Olamide, right. We'll call him. That's as close as I could get. Had great communication with Jalen Hurts. And in fact, they interviewed number 13, Olamide, and they said, how did you find that spot in the end zone? And he just said, Jalen told me to go there. So there's so much to unpack of that game. And also, just the way the defense stiffened up. And one of the best plays was a guy named number 90, Davis.
Jordan Davis,
who's
right.
330 pounds.
When he tackled the running back?
When he basically tackled Josh Allen, he went airborne. It literally launched himself airborne to the point where he basically knocked the air out of himself and just grabbed his... So the effort that these Georgia Bulldogs are making.
Yeah.
So Jalen Carter, he's never blocked a kick. He said that he was practicing. He actually reviewed film on the kicker, and he was practicing jumping. And imagine that. He just tipped that ball. And that field goal would have been a difference. There's so many little subplots. Just incredible, Doc.
You know what's amazing, though? I mean, are you watching the body language a little bit of Jalen Hurts? It's almost like he's down. Did you see after Elliott kicked the 59-yard field goal? Jalen Hurts was sitting on the bench and he shook his head like it was almost like it didn't even faze him. It was like but he also was talking like he seems incredibly disappointed at himself for not playing to his standards a portion of the game. That's what he focuses on.
In fact, in the first half, he was really, you could read his body language in the sense that he was very disappointed in himself. And, he didn't have a good first half. Obviously, they didn't convert on any third downs. And a lot of people, the way I look at it, Brian Johnson, I thought, was masterful the second half.
In fact,
ironically... I was, watching Seth Joyner and talking to Mark Forzetta. Some of those like dead bubble screens from last week against the Chiefs that basically they used those to create a fake situation. One of the passes to Devontae Smith, one of the first downs, they basically did a misdirection to the left, a fake bubble screen, and then they went to the right. So the fact that last week a lot of us, including Seth, were saying, this guy's just calling plays. Brian Johnson.
But he's not setting things up.
There's no scheme here. There's no plan. But yet he used those bubble screens last week to set up the slant to Devontae to the right. So there's layers of brilliance here.
Well, it's interesting because I equate almost, it sounds crazy, but everything to Brian Johnson. Like, in other words, I couldn't be more disappointed in the play calling. Well, first of all, let's look at the first series. I mean, it was one of the more bizarre first series. Like literally drop backs.
In a negative way.
In a negative
three
way.
Three and out, just like pass, punt.
But just dropping
there was
back.
No, right, that was terrible.
It was embarrassing. Well, and by the way, when that happens, it just fires up the other team. And so he's... But yet, at the end of the game, I was saying to my wife at the end of the game, what now he ought to just learn from the end of the game. By the way, Matt Manark, your thoughts.
Hi, Joe.
Jump in here.
That was amazing.
I mean, but at the beginning, obviously, the track record over the last month, Brian Johnson, the offensive coordinator, I mean, he's kind of crapping the bed at a large portion of the game. If he played... if he learns from what he did in the second half, I mean, not the second half, but the last part, the last quarter, the fourth quarter, he could just start the game like that. And because it seems to me, like Bruce just said, you know, he's talking to Seth Joyner. He's just calling plays. There's no rhyme or reason. He's not setting anything up. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's taking him too long to get into a play calling groove.
Rhythm.
And he's using the wrong personnel for certain stuff. Like everybody talks about those bubble screens. Well, we have Quez Watkins back. He's a speedster. Why not put him, throw the bubble screen to him, have Julio Jones block? Why have Julio Jones, who is an all first ballot Hall of Famer, but that dude's not fast anymore.
Yeah, that play to him, that screen to the right, in a world of Sundays, there's no way, if you read that play a billion times, there's no way you would get 10 yards because he's the wrong guy.
Yeah.
And they do that. And DeAndre Swift, they finally used him in the fourth quarter. That run was unbelievable.
Got a guy.
And Gainwell had another great run. Obviously, he's dropped balls. He's fumbled. So Gainwell obviously is kind of in a semi doghouse with Nick. And
we're not using
and like Rashad Penny. We don't really use at all.
Boston Scott. The thing about Boston, yeah, I guess, hole like a rocket.
Yeah, Boston comes in and they play him like one play. I guess Rashad may have been inactivated yesterday.
He was, yeah.
I figured it because they couldn't have four of them. But Boston, and certainly Seth and I, like we watch the games together. But Boston is a guy who's just underutilized. And he is fast. Oh, he's he'd be a great guy out on that screen. He's got a lot of speed. He's very elusive. Him and Swift are two elusive guys.
That's right.
But Julio Jones is not the guy for that play. I agree, Matt Minark.
Yeah, you don't have him running that bowl screen, especially when you have faster. Even throw it to Devontae Smith. I mean, Jones isn't going to get upfield quickly. He's not going to, not like he used to. And like you were talking about Boston Scott, like I don't understand the usage of some of their players. Like one week, Boston Scott won't be out there at all. And then yesterday he was out there for a few plays and was effective. We know that he's going to be out there 100% of the snaps against the Giants. We know that for a fact.
He is a Giants killer.
But sometimes, yeah, like I they're calling Boston Scott's number a couple times at the beginning of the game. All right, well, why haven't you used him in certain situations the past few games?
Well, where Boston Scott, I think, would do real well is short yardage because he hits the hole like a rocket, okay? What's his name?
Gainwell? Or no, Swift?
Swift is unbelievable, but he's dancing around back there looking for the hole or the outside. I love him, and I think he's an all-pro. I mean, the guy is going – thank God he's here. But I think there's a great 1-2 combination, and then you have Gainwell, who's probably screwing up a little bit because he's not really in there all that much. And so, I mean, you know, we got to kind of use him. But I at the same time, I'm just – you know, offense, when you look at a lot of – by the way, what was going on last night with Buffalo's number one receiver. What's his name?
Stephon Diggs.
Diggs, they never have him in there on third downs.
What's going on? They took him out every third down almost. I don't know. It's maybe they know that the Eagles are going to key in on like maybe the deep pass to him, and so they take that out of the equation. I don't know. Well, it doesn't make sense.
Because if you look at our situation, okay, you got A.J. Brown, and of course we have Devontae Smith. What I love about it is you're picking your poison. There's no way to get around it. If you don't double one of them, they're both going to kill you. If you double one, the other one's going to kill you. And what I like about it is A.J. Brown, who can be a formidable force, okay, in Hurts' ear, okay, I think he gets it. I think he understands. He's got to lay back when they're doubling, tripling him. And, you know, listen, if we're winning and Devontae's doing well, it's a great 1-2 come. And who's the guy, the wide receiver, 13, who caught the, what's his
Alameda
name?
Alameda Zacchaeus?
Zacchaeus.
Yeah, I call him Alameda. I can only say one of those two names.
Well,
Alameda Zacchaeus. Try to say that when you're whistling and eating crackers.
You know, like, it's but I mean, you know.
St. Joe's Prep, I know you love that, Joe.
Oh, I just love it.
Same with DeAndre.
Your favorite.
I just want you to know both of those guys, you know, they lived out of the boundaries. to go to Roman, or else they, you know, they would have gone. They would have gone instead.
They
went
didn't
to
make the academic, I'm the just high kidding. Academic standards set by Mr. Joseph Dougherty.
Yeah, they couldn't get in fourth track at Roman. So
like whenever like earn me. As big of a banner as Joe Dougherty has up there.
Right. Oh, where? By the way, just so you know, when I was at Roman my senior year, Richie Gannon was a junior. Okay, and. You know, we end up beating Prep and he end up getting knocked out of bounds on the 1 yard line, right? On the last play of the game. But he was an incredible athlete. And every moment he spent in the NFL, I cheered for him. You know, he's a Catholic League guy. I mean, I'm, you know, listen, I joke around because I did a show, a Spark in a Dream show. Bruce, you were there, okay, yeah, with the Roman kids.
I remember you brought it up.
With the Roman kids.
Great
and,
kids.
Oh, my God. And Karen O'Donnell was there, and Bruce were our professionals on the broadcast.
Did you have your Letterman's jacket on?
It's underneath the here. I'll go out when I wear it. I only wear it when there's hot women around because, you know. And then I
wear my Haverford High bowling jacket. Exactly. It's a real chick magnet.
Hold on for a second. Oh, what's this trophy here? Oh, I have it. I'm sorry, honey. That's my MVP award for the for the Cardinal O'Hara game. That's
you
not
are,
important.
You're Al Bundy to the T, dude.
But listen. But I will tell you this, and I was joking around saying, well, every time Swift and Zacchaeus get mentioned, the recruiting goes up for Prep. But listen, I'm a Catholic League guy. You know, I'm a Roman guy, obviously, but, you know, like when Speedy Morris when was coaching at Prep and he was so incredible at Roman, hey, he, you know, my best friend, Joe DeLuca, coached baseball at Prep for 20 years, and he also coached Roman. I went out and helped out once in a while. You're coaching kids, whether it's Prep, Roman, we coached at Bishop Newman, it was awesome. And so but it was weird every time oh my God, recruiting for Prep is going through the roof every time Swift's name. But guess what? On Sundays at 4 o'clock when the Eagles are playing and Swift is in there, I'm a Prep fan, brother. Like, in other words, sing it to the heavens. This kid is, and it's a great Philadelphia story, right? I mean, you know, it's just so great to have him. And last week and this week he come, I mean, the fourth quarter's his. And so it's just it's a great thing, man. It's you know, but we do have, it's funny how we don't have real big running backs, but they each have a different style, and you could use Boston Smith or Boston Scott, I mean, like a shotgun on fourth and one if we aren't going to run the brotherly shove.
And that's what I thought. I'm really curious to see why they don't use Penny at all, because I thought he would be like this year's like LeGarrette Blount type. The downhill run, because when that dude's healthy with Seattle, I mean, he would blow through the line, and he was a really good running back.
Yeah, and he can't be hurt. He hasn't played at all. They don't use him in spots. I think the utility of the running backs is perplexing, why couldn't you start the game one of those three plays? Why couldn't you do a misdirection play? Why couldn't they have some scripted play with one run?
We need deception.
Why three passes like that?
Exactly.
You'd think that a lot of teams start off scripted. They often do
That's
very
right.
well, and then they run out of gas. This team is the exact opposite.
We don't set anything up for most of the game. And then if Johnson could look at what he did in the fourth quarter, okay, underneath passes, deception, okay, all those things, okay, and setting plays up, okay, just start that, you know, in series one. I mean, we're playing a dangerous game. And, you know, when you've gone to the Super Bowl and you know, came up a little bit short, there's only one game and one win that's going to matter. And you mess with this style of offense in the playoffs, you're going to get bit one time, and that's it. So,
yeah, if I look at this game just from a numerical standpoint, there were a lot of times in the game where the Bills had a 10-point lead, and they were just in the cusp of getting a 17-point lead. Like, we could look at it. A lot of different times, they would sputter out. The Bills got a ton of penalties. They got like 10 penalties.
That was crazy.
Without all those penalties, I think it would have been... Once you're down 17 points to a team, like, they would have been done. But they just kept it close to the 10 points, and then they ended up, you know, getting a touchdown and then getting a field goal. But it seems like the Eagles are always on the edge
right, of playing
being,
at
of being
the
blown
level.
They're just on the edge on these games.
Blown out.
Chiefs game, Dallas game. They're on the edge of being, to where they were in the Jets game, where they just couldn't come back. And now they're playing the 49ers.
Yeah.
And obviously, I think Lane Johnson will be back. I hear that he just had some groins. He'll be back. And Kip Jurgens, you know, obviously is back, but he played against the guy who just literally ran over him.
Remember that?
The
guy wasn't waiting. He said, yeah. You know what? You're going to get this. I'm just going to level you before it
he
even
got
happened.
Destroyed. So we look at it. Cunningham is a really important guy. He'll hopefully be back. These guys have soft tissue injuries.
Bruce, don't you think Randall Cunningham's over there? He's 64 years.
Yeah, that's right. He really is a good tackler
he
as well.
He is excellent.
So without Cunningham, without Cox, they really were porous in the run game in the third quarter. They just were getting destroyed.
Three straight 10-yard runs. One of the craziest things in that game that was really weird was when Josh Allen threw balls right in the dirt in a row. Like, if you were one of those conspiracy theorists right there, there's a guy who hasn't missed that. He literally was third and nine, might as well have been second and one to him. And then all of a sudden, three balls right in the dirt, right? Can't get anything near anybody three times in a row. I mean, you'd have been sitting there going, okay, to fix this on. You know what I mean? You hear that, the conspiracy theory stopping. Oh, this is, I mean, that was bizarre. When he, and you know, all of a sudden.
In that end zone play. Basically,
he went the wrong way.
He, you know, I'm not sure if it was him or the receiver, but you know that guy was open, and Allen doesn't usually miss those kind of plays, and that would have been it. You know, so there were so many touch points in the game, so many where basically come to a fork in the road, and Buffalo could have basically put them out, and they didn't, and the Eagles every time. Jalen Hurts just came up money. He really had his back against the wall in that overtime, and just that was the winning drive. And the fact that he ran it basically, even with the knee, he saw and basically he wouldn't be stopped. And that was just such a great way to win. And the crowd, the crowd stayed the whole game.
What do you think?
It was
about
pretty amazing.
What do you think about Hurts is like, he looks like. He's not happy about something. Like, in other words, he looks like a fan in a sense. Like, yeah, we won, but look at what happened in the first. Here's a far out, kind of, because they asked him about it in the post-game show. They said, well, what are you talking about? You know, clarify. Are you talking about how bad you played in the first half and then picked it up? Because he was talking about, how disappointed he was in certain areas. And he didn't really get into it, but he's sitting there like, you would think they were losing 50-0. Okay, and they just kicked a 59-yard field goal. Did you see his face?
Oh yeah,
it was sitting there, and it was like he shook his head,
beating himself up about it,
beating his head. So
his standard is so high for himself.
He's so humble, and it's a great thing. But here's the weird thing. I think because he's very close to Brian Johnson, I think he knows that there's a problem there, and he just doesn't want to say anything because he knows if he does, it's over. He's not gonna. It'll hurt the guy. And he, this is a bizarre thought process. I said to my wife last night, maybe they can't do anything. Maybe Nick can't do anything to Brian Johnson as far as taking, working with him with the plays because they've won every game. And in a sense, it's possible that Hurts is sitting there going, oh, we're going to pull this one out too, right? And now we're not going to be able to make the changes we need. We're going to take this thing. So far, if we keep getting somewhat fortunate. Not somewhat, big time fortunate, and things are falling. Eventually, we're going to get bit and never get to the Super Bowl because it only takes one loss in the Super Bowl. I mean, it looked to me, it looked to me like he shook his head when he kicked the field goal. Like he was shaking his head no. His body language is at such a level that it's almost like going, what is going on here, man?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, and he has to, and you got to remember, he's dealing with another new offensive coordinator. Last year, when he had Steichen, those back-to-back years, I think that was the first time since like high school that right. He had the same OC for 2 years in a row. Because every time when he was playing Alabama, then good Oklahoma, I mean, he's always dealing with a different OC, and now he's doing it again. It's like he had his best season last year when he had the same OC for 2 years in a row.
Well, here's something interesting about that. I don't know if you've ever had this conversation. I thought I talked about it with Matt, but I was something dawned on you know, when you think about the you think about offensive coordinators, and if you want to look at who's the guy who's at the assistant head coach at for Washington now,
Bieniemy.
Bieniemy. Yeah.
See, you have to in the NFL. Like we had Jim Johnson as the defensive coordinator. When you come to a team, okay, you need to get one of those older guys that have already been through their head coaching career, and they're not getting another one. They're going to stick around as the offensive defensive coordinator. You know, somebody who's been through it now. You know, like who's the defensive coordinator last week for the Chiefs?
Steve Spagnuolo.
Yeah, those guys are going to be there forever. They already had their offensive. They already had their.
He was already a head coach.
Right.
And he's not going anywhere. But I think Brian Johnson, one of the good things is he's so tied into Jalen Hurts. He's tied.
I
can't see Brian Johnson necessarily getting hired as a head coach. And that's,
I don't think
I just don't think he's got the profile.
No. I'm not talking about Brian Johnson. I'm just saying in general, if you keep running into teams, if you say you get drafted, you keep running into teams that have the young offensive coordinator on the way up. They're not going to be there long. You need to get fortunate on a team that already has an infrastructure with an offense and defensive coordinator that are great offense and defensive coordinators, but aren't going to be leaving next year to take a head coaching job.
Something interesting happened today. Frank Reich was fired.
You're kidding me.
Really?
Carolina fired Frank Reich.
Did he win yesterday?
No.
Oh, he didn't.
They're like 1-10. But yeah,
we could bring you know, it'd be great.
Sirianni loves him some Frank Reich.
In a perfect world.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. That would be fantastic. So,
hello.
I mean, so we have our co-host coming into the broadcast right now. She likes a big entry, so we're going to give her one. We're going to bring in Terry Nakisha Hodge. Terry, you can grab the headphones are right there, so we're going to roll with that. But having said that, Frank Reich, you're kidding me.
Yeah, today he was
and Sirianni
fired.
Loves him.
Oh, you heard the one game's like, this is for Frank. The Colts game last year.
Yeah, Colts gang.
This is for Frank.
Wow.
Yeah, he loves him. Yeah, it's a shame. It's a crowded. It'd be a crowded room with him there. Maybe you could come in as a consultant.
Yeah,
a consultant.
There
you like that word?
Well, that's right.
Likes the word consultant.
I'm sure Sirianni's already texting him or calling him today.
You got a job, but guess what? He probably would be good for Brian Johnson.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's a classy guy, you know. And by the way, Frank
he knows
Reich,
the organization too.
Let's get that guy. He shouldn't even be home sleeping. He's let's get him here now, and let's
assistant OC. We have two. Brian Johnson and
that'd be great. It also would be great. A lot of times when a guy gets fired, he kind of goes into a residency, and then they're waiting because he's definitely going to be on somebody's list as a head coach.
Yeah.
And so, I'm a little bit surprised.
The reason, Bruce, I'm
Carolina
not sure about that.
Is kind of like Bermuda Triangle. You know, Matt Rhule couldn't win there. Frank Reich. There's certain places you can't win. It's kind of like the old Clippers, you know,
yeah.
With Donald Sterling. There's certain places where you just can't win, and Carolina is a tough place. A lot of revolving doors with personnel, and I really like Frank Reich, and he was well loved here. That's very interesting breaking news.
Yeah,
I might get. Can you get me a number? I'm just going to get involved.
Let me just get a hold of Frank.
Sure. Terry, how are you?
How about those Eagles?
Whoa, my God. We're just talking about kind of breaking. This is, so you've heard, I don't know if you've ever heard the saying, but there's a saying that, you know, the thrill of victory and the agony of reading about it in the paper. Well, that's been the story of the next day, right? So in other words, that's been the story of the Eagles. Like they win in ugly. And so you win. And I was talking to my she's a great friend of mine, my hairstylist. I was getting my hair done, and she was not hearing any of my, this was two on Saturday.
You look great, dude.
What's that? I do look good, right? Yeah. I told her to get rid of this bald spot in the back. It's just.
Do you use that shoe polish, too?
Yeah.
That's the best.
She said, get the spray paint. But, she was giving me crap because she was like, they're winning, right? Well, and yesterday was another example of that, okay? But, man, you can't keep, man. It is what it is. We're so happy they won. And I'm starting to buy into this. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid like they're going to figure out a way to win. But, I look at Jalen Hurts' face, and I'm like, ugh. So If you would, Terry, just remind our listeners a little bit about the practice.
Sure. So we are North American Medical Associates. We have 15 locations throughout Delaware, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. And we specialize in pain management and also orthopedics.
And Dr. Bruce, if you will, about your practice, please.
Sure. So we have Grossinger Neuro Pain Specialists. So I do neurology, concussion management, and a lot of diagnostic, a lot of neurodiagnostic tests like EMGs. And also, so we what we do is we refer a lot of people to pain management doctors, such as Terry has, that we don't really do a lot with pharmacotherapy, but a lot of another part of what we do is Philadelphia PRP and Spine Cell Institute. As you know, we take care of the Eagles and Sixers. A lot of them, we are the we're the off-brand. We're not Kleenex, but we're the off-brand, so to speak. So a lot of times people, this phone will call, you'll hear an injury, and I'll be involved in platelet-rich plasmid stem cell transplantation, particularly with a lot of the retired Eagles in the area. So my practice is really a widespread practice, and I'm very excited to hear. I know that there are orthopedic surgeons. There are no surgeons at our place. So we're in a situation where we would refer to North American Medical, and they have a lot of great named doctors there and a lot of offices. So we're kind of a niche practice. We have a physiatrist, myself, and a big team of medical assistants. So we provide kind of quarterbacking of the care.
But you don't do therapy, right?
But we don't do any therapy at all. We don't do any orthopedics. So and we have overlapped with North American Spine and medical care. So I'm excited that Terry and I, we've kind of been like ships passing in the night, that this is kind of our kickoff meeting tonight.
Well, yeah, we have mutual friends who have been trying to get us together for some time, and ships passing in the night. I like that.
So, Tara, talk about, obviously, the medical professionals at the practice. They've been on the broadcast and have done a fantastic job, on a lot of the injured workers and of course, injury victims. Talk about the orthopedics and the professionals that are at the practice.
Sure. So I know Dr. Bruce alluded to Dr. Rastogi and Dr. Slevin, who you do have a relationship with, and also our Delaware practice. We're in Newark, you're in Wilmington, so
yep.
I'm sure they're quite familiar. And then we have Dr. Adnan Chima, who now covers the Bala location, which is right around the corner from the studio here, and Cherry Hill. And also Browns Mills, which is in New Jersey.
I did an internship at DeBoer Heart and Lung Center in Browns Mills,
okay.
New Jersey.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot at Browns Mills other
That's
than your
exactly
office.
Where he is.
But yeah. I actually loved it. I love being there. You're right in the middle of nowhere.
It
and
is
you
right
go there,
in the
it's a slice
of
America. I just, I was like a third year medical student. I think that's where I sharpened up my pool game.
Sure.
As I always say, Terry, not to brag or anything.
Well,
exactly.
So, having said that, you also do, you mentioned obvious. Mm-hmm. By the way, did you see the game last night?
I did.
I mean,
great game.
I mean, that I would say that 60-yard field goal, 59-60-yard field goal, what was interesting about that 59-60-yard field goal, whatever it was that obviously it was in a driving rainstorm, okay? So there probably has never been a field goal kicked in such at that length, okay? Not even close. But if you look at it, it was low. He kicked that. He knew exactly what he was doing. He kicked a line drive. He did not kick that baby up in the air so the wind could get it. That's the reason why he
and
got
it could have carried another 7 yards. That's the crazy thing.
It's crazy.
It's just crazy how strong the guy's leg is. And again, that they kick the ball into the end zone routinely. But as far as having the accuracy and the way that the rain and wind was pushing it to the right, he started off at the left upright or goal post, whatever.
Right.
Whatever
right.
that thing is.
Right, goal post.
Geographically,
right.
Whatever that thing was. For God's sakes, he aimed right for it. And then the wind reminded me of my golf game. He sliced it right in there.
But if it was, by the way, if it was 7 yards longer, it does not make it inside that post. He did barely made it in. Doc, you did the post-game show for the game last night with Seth Joyner. and Mike Messinelli. And what was the spirit after they kicked that field goal?
Elation and somewhat disbelief. Shock and disbelief. And, it was just the same thing. And John McMullen, who's our guy, who's our beat reporter, on the scene in the locker room, just, I think we just, it's disbelief, and just like the Chiefs game with Seth, if they played the same game six times, the Eagles would have lost five out of the six. It was just the one out of six. And last night, as we said, they were just like 1 inch from being down 17 points. And at that point in that weather, that would have been catastrophic. So they live on the edge. They live on the edge, but they come back. And Jalen Hurts, after 0.0 quarterback rating, 158 quarterback rating, three out of four throws for touchdowns. You talk about resiliency. I think that's the word that just kept on coming up from Forzetta and Bill Colucci and obviously Seth and myself. Resiliency and Missinelli. It's just a resilient bunch, and it's fun. It's fun hanging out. A lot of times you get a lot of viewers. You get more views when they lose, but we're okay that they're 10-1.
Yeah, but I mean, you mean Bill Calarulo?
Calarulo, you can say his last name. Calarucci is his name. What's his name? Yeah, I'm really is. You and I are really so Italian, aren't we, Joe Dougherty?
So, and I happen to know Bill, but
isn't he a great? He's a great guy, isn't he? Calarulo.
Who do you think made the introduction? I mean, he's
to Krause. Did you introduce?
Yeah, of course. And so here's Bill Calarulo. Little insight. So we sat in that chair not long ago, and a real successful attorney from Jersey left his law firm.
Yeah, Bill Calarulo.
Yeah. So he left us, and now he's doing, he's on the set with Seth Joyner and Mike Missinelli, Bruce, and the whole Jacob Media team.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he sits, what a nice guy.
Oh, no question about it.
Nicest guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but what was your thought, Terry, when you were watching? Like, in other words,
a miracle. I was talking to my husband, and I was like, wait, did they win?
Yeah, can you believe it? Well, what is your husband saying? Because I'm sitting there talking to my wife.
He was screaming the whole time. And I was like, wait, what happened? Are they winning? He's like, this is a winning scream. You can't tell. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, guess what? Yeah, but it's funny. I'm talking to my wife and, halfway through the game I just can't get away from our offensive coordinator. I just can't do it. And, by the way, Matt Menard, our pass rush, like they were, stifling our pass rush. We got really big guys, and I know they're fast, but they're not all, aside from Reddick, obviously, and of course, our record breaker last night.
Jalen? No.
Brandon Graham?
Yeah,
Brandon Graham.
Right.
Brandon Graham is probably the second fastest on there, and again, we talked in the Chiefs game. We were mentioning about how Reddick is really the only guy with speed, and it's frustrating to Seth. Seth also watches a lot of the technique, how their hips are misaligned, so a lot of that is coaching. And so, what's his name? Josh Sweat. In the Chiefs game, he had a terrible game in the Chiefs game, and he was graded out like as the worst all year, and he came back with that big hurry for that intentional grounding. So he had one great play at the end. But the cool thing about Seth is you get, like, I didn't play football. You played the game, and Seth is really great on technique.
It's interesting, though. That ground, you got to imagine that the field that they were playing on, right? And speaking, you got medical professionals in here talking about the groin pull.
Look at the injuries.
Yeah, I mean,
you look at Fletcher Cox had a groin pull, and Zach Cunningham had a hamstring pull. They're the kind of soft tissue injuries you have when muscles get overstretched when you slide. So that kind of inclement condition exactly led to those two injuries.
Right. It's and yet here we are. That, by the way, Terry, did you by any chance catch the subtlety? We were just talking about it, of Jalen Hurts. The way he looked on the bench after that field goal, he looked like he was disgusted. It looked to me, he's sitting there, this is exactly what he did. I'm like, he didn't get up. He just sat there, and I just, I just wonder if he's sitting there going, we're never going to make any changes if we don't. I said to my wife, I can sit there all I want and say, we got to lose in order for us to get better, right? Because that's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, we got to make some changes in that coach's room, even if now we need Frank Reich. But my point is, it looked to me like, it looks like he doesn't want to sell Johnson down the river. That might sound bizarre.
Well,
or he was
from
mad
a psychological
that he put the
standpoint,
in the situation.
Yeah, yeah. I think it could have been just resolve. You know, there's a stoic resolve. So it could have been disappointment in himself. It could be, you know, resolve, I'm going to come back and win no matter what, which he did. Even on that bad day, nobody was stopping him. The seas parted, and he went in for that winning touchdown. And it was just, it was like watching the end of a Rocky movie. It was just the culmination of a wonderful comeback. To see them win in overtime, and I think overtime's too short. I think 10 minutes is too short. There's nothing worse than a tie, you know? I don't have a sister.
I know.
So I've never had a chance to kiss her.
Tie should be illegal. That's
what they say. I said to my wife last night, I said, hon, you know what they say about a tie, right? And she said, no. I said, it's like kissing your sister. But let's be real. If you look at the reason, okay, look at our schedule. First of all, they have the same situation. They have Murderers Row over there. Like the Bills are playing the same teams that we played. It's a rough road. That was a game backbreaking loss for them.
When they're 500, that was a backbreaker. They really wanted it and needed it more than we did, actually.
It's true. But
so that's incredible. And if you look at Josh Allen, who played an incredible game, 450 yards, running, just a valiant. And again, I like, you know, if any team that plays the Eagles, I don't like for the day, but I do love Tua and I do love Josh Allen. I mean, they're very likable. My son Spencer, right, when he was at the combine, my son Spencer hung out with Josh Allen. It was very nice to him.
And by the way, his story is incredible. Like, he was not recruited. I mean, the guy's 6'5", man. And he runs like a running back. He takes the weak side. He's always head faking. I mean, how about when he's running out there? I think it was Reddick. Reddick's coming right at him. He does the fake pass. He goes for that, and then he runs for the first down. The dude is impossible to tackle in the open field. And if you are unlucky enough to actually catch him, you got problems, man. I mean, our D-backs.
It's hard to tackle him. It's hard to sack him. But he's a huge guy.
To me, personally, this sounds, you know, here we are. We win yesterday. We're 10-1. Let's talk in 2 weeks. Because, by the way, you know, we got Dallas and the 49ers are the two best teams in the NFL besides us.
And both of those will be coming off of Thursday night games. So both teams will have extra rest.
Well rested. It's crazy. We'll see what happens. We got about a minute left. Dr. Bruce Grossinger, your contact information, if you will.
Sure. So Dr. Bruce Grossinger, it's Grossinger Neuropain. Contact is 610-521-6063. We have offices right at the airport in Ridley Township and also in Wilmington, Delaware. And there's operators on duty 24/7. And if you believe that, I got Swampland for you.
There you go. Terry, if you will.
Hey, this is Terry Nikisha Hodge, and I am with North American Medical Associates. You can find us at www.naspacmd.com.
And by the way, both of you specialize in quick appointments, right? In other words, I remember having the doctors on, you know, trying to get clients in. It's not a 6 week wait, correct?
Yeah, we get people right in, especially when people get hurt at work or people are in a car accident. They have head injuries, they have neurological problems, and again, it's great to have that relationship with North American Medical because there's orthopedic surgeons there, and you can get them right in. And somebody has a fracture, they're going to need to get casted. Some people, they might have a compartment syndrome, and certainly an incredible reputation of your practice, Terry. And it's so great to meet you in person.
Of course. Thank you.
And we've heard that, you know.
100%. We have 15 locations. I mean, they're going to get in somewhere.
Awesome. All right.
Absolutely.
I want to thank everybody for tuning into the NAMA Hour here on WWDB Talk 860. We want to thank Terry Nikisha Hodge and Dr. Bruce Grossinger, Matt Menarek, for doing a great job being involved in the conversation and producing the show. On behalf of everybody on the broadcast, I'm Joe Docherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.